Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show, everybody. It is hour two of episode 170. Canada's only live morning sports talk show coming at you right here. We were billing it as a hockey show, hence the Dallas Stars tracksuit that I have on right now. But we've been all over the place with some NFL talk, some CFL talk. And coming up in hour two of the program today, from the Tampa Bay Lightning broadcast crew, Chris Dingman, former Wheat King and Stanley Cup champion, Chris Dingman. And from the Saskatchewan Rush, Ben McIntosh. They are home Saturday to the Colorado Mammoth. And as we do each home game week, we'll be previewing the Rush with a guest from the Rush, brought to you by Rockstar Supply Chains. Taylor Shire is with us. Oh, Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions. Thank you, Clark, for pointing that out. If you missed hour one, you missed a lot. The BC Lions have sent us a care package. As I was mentioning, we have the Mike Riley bobblehead, a Dante Marsh Lions replica jersey, which, quite frankly, I'd rather have a replica than a game worn. I don't know about you guys. Sweat free. You know what I mean? I'd rather have what they sent me, so thank you. And the real cool thing, we have, if you've never been down to the bunker here, which it really looks like a bunker, by the way, it looks like a bomb went off in here today. And it's mostly my fault. I'll put it on me. I got the Lions package ripped apart here. Empty coffee cups. Broken glass. No, I just added that one in. But the Lions sent this. This is Wally Buono's game credential of the last ever game in Taylor Field. I didn't really know where to put it, but that's why we have a team here. I knew we'd put it somewhere. And Darren said, Legends Hall, we'll get it framed, get a photo of Wally on the sidelines at Taylor Field, preferably the last ever game, which I don't think should be that hard to find. There's a lot of photos of that game.
Yeah.
And we have Legends Hall, where when you're entering the facility here, because it is a facility, we've got all kinds of really cool stuff. The Winnipeg Jets three-story high banner from the NHL that they gave us from the Heritage Classic. We got a George Reed autographed jersey. We've got an oil painting of Taylor Field, the old place. We got Saskatchewan Rush signed team championship pennant.
Oh, yeah.
Team signed jersey. Taylor, that's pretty cool, Legends Hall, eh?
The man cave is coming together, isn't it?
It's coming together. It's coming together.
From day one when there was what?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Oh, no. Not anything on the desk.
There, yeah.
There was absolutely nothing. Thank you for the reminder.
That's how far you've come, right?
We've come a long way, 170 shows. Norway calling. This is Trent. Money is not the proof of anyone staying in the NFL. I still have Moncrief ahead of the others. Let's see the Rush beat Colorado this weekend, and the Battle of Alberta lives up to its billing. Go Rush. There's Trent putting all his thoughts into 140 characters. Very well. That's our daily poll question that Trent is voting on. Which CFL grad stands the best chance of sticking in the National Football League? Daily poll for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center. And right now, Derek Moncrief is leading of the Vegas Raiders. Second place, Trey Roberson of the Chicago Bears. Third place, Chris Streveler of the Arizona Cardinals. Fourth place, Will Stanbeck of the Vegas Raiders. Chris Dingman will be with us in about 5 minutes' time. I went on a rant, by the way, and I'm surprised TSN even talks to me at all, because I rant about their programming somewhat regularly. But on SportsCenter this morning, they're showing women's college basketball highlights. I'm saying, why are we watching this when we could be watching junior hockey highlights? Ty Dacu, our social media advisor, writes in and he says, ESPN has a minority stake in TSN. Subsequently, a ton of HD coverage of things like women's NCAA comes from the American market. TSN spends $0 to implement that infrastructure. No one is willing in this market to go out on a limb and put the pieces in place to cover the CHL/U sports. Well, then I think I have a reason to be upset, because it's on the cheap.
Yep. Now, it's on the cheap, but it's a big investment. And you think about
the property. So going back to the NCAA and March Madness, when TSN, you know, acquires those rights or pays for those rights or just has them from ESPN, they're going to play them. But it doesn't really do much just to play the games. You think the games are so good that people are going to watch? No, you got to tell the story. You got to build the storyline. You got to tell me who the players are, and then I'm interested. So what does TSN do? Okay, if we're going to play these games, we better introduce the characters. Right. So now we got to start sprinkling in some highlights, maybe once a week, you know, in February. And as you get through February, we're going to put them twice a week, and then it becomes every day. And then all of a sudden, you have that buildup. So if you want to start playing U-Sports, it's a big process. Now you got to introduce me to the players, the teams, the history, the rivalries, and that happens slowly over time. It comes down to our advertising we talk about, you know, in some of our other meetings. You can't just throw out an ad and people are going to watch. It's a funnel. You put out an ad, some people remember and watch a little bit of it. So then you market to those people. They watch a little more. They watch a little more. And it takes 3, 4, or 5 impressions of your product before you actually have a viewer.
Well, so, yeah, we're going a little deep on how this all works.
So it's just, but to clean it up, it's a massive investment. And just putting games
on
isn't going to get people on. But when you've been around for a while, it's a lot easier for us to do it. We love investing in that stuff, you know, when you're new and exciting. So it's a bigger undertaking for TSN to do it. You got to have some financial benefit.
I guess on a smaller scale, having Aaron Grimes on the program yesterday, I knew nothing about Aaron Grimes, but for the two-dimensional figure on my television screen that I see once a week when he's playing, now he's on the air. You see he's a cool guy, and he's a good guy, and he's talking about carpooling, and he's talking about his background and how much he loves the BC Lions. All of a sudden, I'm pulling for Aaron Grimes because his helmet's off, and we're seeing him live and in color.
Yes.
You know? Taylor, you had a point you wanted to make by the end of hour one, and it completely went out your head, didn't it?
Yep. What were we talking about?
I don't remember.
What were we talking about?
Well,
I don't remember.
We were talking about Levi Streveler. Strevy.
I don't know.
Okay.
Let's move on.
That's cool. Let's move on. Just ahead of Chris Dingman, who I will be introducing in moments. Neil Shuchuk, watching from White Court, Alberta today, he says, I've always said that CIS athletics is the biggest secret in Canadian sports. If we saw more CIS football, it would create a greater CFL following. Well, now you're getting in the chicken and the egg argument. Back to what we said, you have to give people what they want. And unfortunately, I don't know, the national networks really seem to shy away from university football in this country. And I know why. The ratings aren't there. And yet, when Shaw, Sastol Max, mm-hmm. Access air those games, they do get viewers because it's regional.
Yeah.
Right? And that's when Noah Picton, for me, because I've been following Noah since he was probably 12, but for everybody else, when they started talking about Noah, when Noah Picton became Noah Picton, it's because he was on TV every week and people were watching the games.
Big time.
Regionally.
And you talk about that, and that's, I mean, in your business, Taylor, local is what sells. I mean, you got the big networks who are going to take care of the national product, but local is what sells, so you're going to capitalize on the local market. I think a big problem, you know, when it comes to the Western Hockey League, there's some marketability because a good chunk of those players are going to the NHL, and we're going to watch them as pros. When you're talking about U-Sports football, in the positions, not that matter, but in the positions that we hear, that we're familiar with, quarterbacks, receivers, running backs, maybe defensive backs, maybe your outstanding defensive linemen who are racking up sacks, the big marquees, bobbleheads. How many of these guys played U-Sports football? Any of them?
Not Larry Fitzgerald, I don't think.
You know, Mike Riley.
Not Mike Riley.
Swerve, Damon. Like,
none of
those guys, it's a very, very small number that come from U-Sports and play. So the marketability of the game is tough. Now, if we start continuing to grow and have more homegrown guys make it to the CFL, big time opportunity to start putting U-Sports on TV. But that's, I mean, we have more interest in college football in the States because more of those players are going to play pro both in the NFL and in the CFL.
Well, one cool thing here, and Shuey, by the way, writes in and says, well said, Rod, thanks for your insight. Yes, local is crucial. Finally, somebody agrees with me. Thank you, Shuey. From Chris Clark from the Pats unofficial podcast, and thank you for sticking with us into hour two, Chris. He says, TSN's trying too hard to be ESPN. Sportsnet is where it's at. I'm not totally sure that I go along with that. Maybe TSN is. I'm not sure. Well, I don't know that they're trying to be ESPN, as a matter of fact, because I watch ESPN every morning, and they're nothing like TSN. Nothing. For a variety of reasons. But I've often had this fun little question I put to people. If you could only have one channel for the rest of your life, one channel, what would it be? Because mine would be TSN. So as much as I bang on it from time to time for programming issues, it's still my number one channel. And if you could only give me one, it used to be A&E. When there was American Justice, Dog the Bounty Hunter. Man, I love that show.
Storage Wars.
It used to be A&E, but now it's TSN. If you could only have one channel, and I'm just going to ask you guys, everybody, let's open it up. If you could only have one channel, what would it be? I'd love to know your thoughts.
I still get all the streaming services, right?
Clark has just said, Taylor, you better say Global Regina.
The obvious answer is Global Regina.
Right? You know what?
Sorry.
When we had the 2-year stint or the 1-year stint there, the 2-game stint when Global played U Sports football games and we did those games, I did say Global. We got football. You got your TV shows. You got movie. You got golf on Sundays.
Global's airing Rush games now.
Rush games. Maybe Global's where it's at. There
you go. Always has been.
I was going to maybe say the CBC. You get Hockey Night in Canada.
6 o'clock sports every.
From Nelson, he says TSN. From Bo Halverson, he says TSN. TSN is still number one, but they can't rest on their laurels. That's all. So they everybody needs a little competition. Everybody needs a little criticism. Mm-hmm. That's how you get better.
Yeah.
So yours is Global Regina.
Yes.
Mine's TSN. What's yours, Darren?
Yeah, it'd be TSN, too.
That's CFL games.
Yeah.
Hello.
It's because it gets all sports. I maybe would take NFL Network, but one of those. But it's I like a little bit of everything. TSN.
I will say this too, as we await Chris Dingman. Has he? What's up with Chris Dingman? Oh, he's ready. Okay. Oh, he was typing in. We've got news from the CFL, and all the rest. Everything is happening. Ryan does say this. Ryan Kowalik's watching, and he says, my problem with TSN is that they show the same game on 4 of the 5 channels. Well, this is what I think hooped TSN, by the way. They went to 5 channels, and then they lost the NHL contract less than a year later. I think they had everything all set up to show NHL on every one of those 5 channels, and then Sportsnet just ripped the carpet out from under them, and they're sitting there with 5 channels going, what the hell? That's what I think happened there.
Yeah.
So I'm not totally sure, but I follow up pretty close. Well, Chris Dingman played in the National Hockey League from 1996 to 2008. We remember him as the Tampa Bay Lightning, but he played with the Avalanche, the Hurricanes, and the Flames. He's an Edmonton kid, and he came on my radar as a Brandon Wheking way back in the early 90s, and he joins us today on video chat. Good morning, Dinger. How are you?
I'm a little under the weather, but I'm doing it for the most part, considering I'm 43 and my body hurts every day, but I can still coach hockey and I can still compete against 11 and 12 year olds, so I feel pretty good about myself.
You can still get around the ice a little bit, I guess. Those aches and pains can't be as bad living in Florida than if you were living here on the prairies, I wouldn't think.
I'm starting to feel a little bit more some of the little things. I think the cold's getting to me a little bit, but I actually enjoy being back. It's great. And people talk about being back home and like in the winter and how cold it is. And I look at it this way. When I was in Florida, I could only use 10% of my closet because I was basically, if you like 8 months of the year, if you wore anything other than a t-shirt, you were sweating and you were dying. And it's like, you're able to wear different things. So I don't mind it at all, to be honest with you. Pains are part of the game and they let you, I look at it this way. Like the crooked nose and the crooked fingers that don't straighten, they just remind you that you played a sport and you played it hard. So I look at it that way.
And you certainly did. And actually, before we go any further, can you give us an update on your life? Because the last I knew, you were on television in Tampa with the Lightning. Are you back home here in Canada, or what's up with you right now?
Yeah, I'm actually back in Edmonton, and my brother-in-law had a company, Stealth Gloves. I saw a promo right here. I thought I'd wear the nice hat and just get a little free advertising, but just been helping him out. He's doing really well with his company. He sells impact and safety gloves to oil and gas, construction, all those different kind of companies. So I've been helping him out. And it was a good opportunity to come back. We want to be closer to family. And, you know, to be honest with you, when they started the active shooter drills and the active, hurricane drills at school, we were kind of going, okay, maybe this is getting a little too much being down here. So the weather and everything was nice, but yeah, back in Edmonton now. I've been back a little bit over a year, so it's been great. The kids love it. My older boy, actually, we came back for Christmas a couple years back, and he said, well, can we just stay here? we just did. I like the ODR, and I'm like, what's the ODR? It's like, it's the outdoor rink, Dad. Like, and I'm like, okay, I get what it is now. But yeah, so we've been back a little over a year, so it's been great. Just been selling some gloves and making a little money to pay for youth hockey and diapers.
Now that you say that, Stout Gloves, I've seen that, whether it be your social media, we've all heard of it, right? So obviously they're doing well. And you're not that far behind Dinger. I just heard ODR on New Year's Day for the first time. So it's a kid thing. Now then, if you're home in Edmonton, Battle of Alberta, are you like Strudwick who said this is the first time he wished he was still playing since he retired to be part of that? What was your take on the last couple of weeks, Oilers Flames? Even though, well, I guess you're Flames alum. Yeah. What's your take on the whole thing?
I think it's great. I was chirping people a little bit online, and Strud's a good guy. We fought, I don't know how many times, to be honest with you. And, you know, back in the days of the Wheat Kings and the Blazers and then in the NHL when he was in Vancouver, we fought Fairmount. And you look forward to those games. I mean, like, that's what the NHL needs. And they want to take all the physicality out of the game and all these different things. And that was a game where, unfortunately, my oldest boy had a game, so I wasn't even able to watch it, but I taped it and I DVR'd it and I came home and my wife's like, what are you doing? Why do you keep rewinding the game? I'm like, because I was getting the updates of what happened. There was a goalie fight and there was a fight, and, you know, and like it's the non-traditional fighters, I think, what makes it best. And I agree. That's a game where I would have died to be in that, to be playing, because those are the games. And you wish it, you know, it was a little closer to the second one. Obviously, the first one was a, like, I don't think you could have scripted a better game unless maybe you're the Oilers and you would have been able to win a shootout. But games, it's, you want to be a part of it. It's the fun of it. That's it. It's the guys that don't usually fight, like the goal. Mike Smith, I had an opportunity to meet him a few times when I was in Tampa and I was doing TV, and he was playing down there, and he's a great guy, and you knew to do something. So him skating up to the red line was perfect because he was just waiting and no one was really watching him. And so I agree 100%. Those are the games you want to be a part of. You want to do something. You want to have an impact. And fans love it. Guys love it. Like, as a guy who had to fight, anytime you see a guy like Bear or somebody that doesn't fight or the goalie, you love that. Like, you just eat that up. Like, that's the best. I remember in Brandon when Marty Murray or Darren Rich, one of those guys, it was more of a goal scorer. And they would go out and fight. And you just love that. As a team, you know, a non-traditional fighter that goes battles, like, those are the best. So to answer your question, and or maybe in a different way, it's just that I would love to be a part of that. I have died just for one shift. Just to be a part of that.
Chris, the staged fight and the style of fighting in general has kind of gone to the wayside, and people are talking about banning fighting. But I feel like that game and that series needed a fight on Wednesday, and then you could just kind of see the escalation on Saturday. Do you think fighting still has a place? Like we didn't see, you know, two guys square up on center ice at a face-off. It happened out of pure emotion. Do you think fighting still has a place in the game, and it was necessary even on back on Wednesday for Chuck and Cassian to fight?
Well, if I said no, would you believe me?
Yeah.
I'm totally, absolutely. I obviously, had a few concussions myself, I'm very cognizant of it. You know, you don't want anybody getting concussions. You look at UFC fighters that fight year after year after year in NFL, and there's, like, you don't want anybody to get with long-term brain CT and the things that are coming out. But I 100%, there's place for it in the game. I love it. And I think what was hurting the NHL is you had guys who just kept getting bigger. And I look when I played, and I was 6'4", 245. And you had the George the Rocks. There were 6'3", 6'4", 250. And then the McGraths. Like, these guys were just monsters. And you're getting back to now where you got the Cassians and the guys that can play, and that's what you want. If you're the NHL, you want the guy that can play a regular shift, and Tkachuk is perfect. Like I said, he's a little Marchand, but I'd love to have Cassian. I'd love to have Tkachuk on my team. So 100% there's room for fighting in the game, but I think it's more of the guys that can play the game. And mm-hmm. they got the tap, and as you mentioned, the stage fight. I mean, that's great, but you see two guys that just go out and fight, but you know, I want a guy that goes out there. And I remember, like, I heard this story, and Kelly Chase was saying, you know, he's like, you don't have to fight me. He's like, you don't worry about it. Like, you don't have to fight me, but I'll make you. Because if you tell me you don't want to fight me, I'm going to go out and I'm going to go after your skilled players until your coach makes you fight me. So I thought that was very interesting in the fact that, you know, there's a place for it in this game where you could get under another team's skin and you can make a guy respond. And the guys that can play the game and fight, like, you look at the Wilsons and, you know, Reeves to a lesser extent, but I'd take like a Wilson. Are you kidding me? On my first line, or Cassie, and those guys that are big, and Lucic a few years back. Obviously, Lucic just doesn't have the speed as he once did, but that's why he was so effective, because he could play on a first line role and he could hit guys. He'd run guys five rows deep, and defenseman, they didn't want to go back for the puck, and then he could play. And all he did was create room for his line mates. And then if anyone touched him, every whistle was like, okay, what are you going to do now? And he'd basically go over and challenge the guy. And most 95% of the guys were, you know, scared to, you know what, and didn't want to do anything. So I think there's a place in the game, 100%. And, you know, the stage fights, I think, are going away. But even you saw that there's a game a couple weeks back between the Islanders, I think it was, and the Rangers, and there was those fights right off the start of the game. And you need that. You need the rivalries. You need the bad blood. And I like starting that. You need more of that. And, you know, nowadays you see guys warm up, and you have buddies. And even now, like in the summer, we would skate, you know, Strudwick and myself and other guys. I remember Louis DeBrusque back in the day. And, you know, we get in the summer, we do the Perry Pern camp, and we'd all talk and stuff. And but when we got to the regular season, you weren't buddies anymore. Now you see too much of that, where you're in warm-up and guys are looking over and smiling at each other. And, hey, how's it going? You know, what are we doing? You need to get some more of that fire back in the game. And fighting is a big part of it, but I think it's just up to the fighting. You need more of the body contact. You need more of the intensity of the rivalry game. So 100%, I would keep fighting.
We only got a minute, and you remember from your TV time what that means. That's not a lot. But Matt Herbert's watching from the PA Raiders fan page, and he says, does Chris remember the battles in the 90s with the Prince Albert Raiders? What comes to mind when we bring that up?
I think if I remember correctly, I remember the battles, and they had a tough guy, Dave. It was very big, but every time I remember we were playing on TSN, and I had this goalie cut jersey, and that was back when you used to be able to get out of it. So I remember every time we were playing on TSN, I'd try and get in a fight. And Dave Andruna was a guy that was a thorn in your side. And I remember, I think it was Gordon Miller was like, watch out, Dingman can throw him. Dingman can throw him. So I made sure every time we're on TSN, I got into a fight because I wanted to, you know, show what I could do on TV. And then I just remember in the playoffs, I think I had back-to-back hat tricks in games 5 and game 6 against them. So I felt kind of bad for them, but it felt good for us because we went on to win a Western League championship that year. So hopefully I was under 60 seconds or less there.
That was perfect. Well, I could go on for hours because I was the voice of the Raiders then. And remember game 7, Darren Van Owen, 5-minute major. Darren Wright was carted off the ice on a stretcher. And and the Raiders couldn't score on the power play. You guys took that game, and I could talk about it all day. And they still talk about it in PA. But, Dinger, thanks for this. I really appreciate it, and I'm glad everything's going great. Hopefully when we're up in Edmonton, we can look you up.
No, it sounds good. Thank you very much for having me on.
Chris Dingman joining us from Edmonton, and you can see why he would be on Tampa Bay Lightning television.
Oh, yeah.
Let alone winning a Stanley Cup with him. We have to break. We're way over. It's been great, but we do got to pay some bills. Sports update coming up for Wendell Clark's. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
2020 has officially arrived. It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital GMC. We're ready to pay top dollar for your vehicle, and you deserve an upgrade. Our new inventory has just arrived, and we already want it gone. Costco special member pricing is back. That means massive discounts for Costco members, plus members get a $500 Costco cash card with purchase of select new vehicles. Happening for a limited time at Saskatchewan's largest GM dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of The Rod Peterson Show.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs. Since 1989.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio. Music to build a better day.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for a sports update for Wendell Clark's. The Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame will be announcing their 2020 induction class today with the official ceremony to follow on June 20th in St. Mary's, Ontario. The 2019 class included former Jays GM Gord Ash, along with former MLBers Jason Bay, Ryan Dempster, and Rob Thompson. Maple Leafs are hoping for some good news today regarding the health of their starting goaltender. Frederick Anderson left last night's 5-3 loss to the Florida Panthers after one period with what the team called an upper body injury. The team added Anderson passed concussion protocol and would be reevaluated today. Leafs blew a 3-1 third period lead last night, fell 5-3 to the Florida Panthers. The Ottawa Senators host the Anaheim Ducks tonight in one of 13 NHL games. Six of Canada's seven teams are in action tonight. Montreal's at New Jersey. Vancouver visits Boston. The Jets welcome Nashville. The Flames host San Jose. And the Oilers are at Arizona in the return of Dave Tippett. And speaking of Toronto, as we were earlier, McLeod Bethel Thompson, which will heretofore be nicknamed Macbeth on this show. McLeod Bethel Thompson has signed a new contract with the Toronto Argonauts. So we'll get into that. If you have any details on years on that, Clark, if you find any, can you please pass them along? 1 year, Clark says he believes it's 1 year for Macbeth and the Argos. This sports update for SeatGiant.ca. Stop paying U.S. dollars for sporting events and concerts. We have all major sporting events and concert tickets in Canadian dollars. Enter promo code RPSHOW and get discounts for RPSHOW fans. Visit SeatGiant.ca. And for Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill in Saskatoon, which I love, as I mentioned, that they are now tagging us in their posts.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, whoever's responsible. I assume Doyle, maybe Byron, maybe Gary, maybe it's none of them. But thank you. As a matter of fact, here it is. Tacos. Who doesn't like tacos for lunch? We do. $13.95 till 3 p.m. $6.25 craft beers all day at the Rod Peterson Show on the TVs. It's great, everyone. See you at Wendell's, corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive. I'll be seeing you Thursday, Friday, Saturday that I'll be up there in Saskatoon. So looking forward to that. Okay, real quickly. You, Darren, were reading off Twitter. Some guy was going... Who was it that was going off about the...
It wasn't a media member.
Super Bowl halftime act.
His name was Charlie Kirk.
Never heard of him.
He's a politician.
Make him work.
But Charlie Kirk... That's quick.
Yeah.
He's from Phoenix. Anyways, he's got 1.5 million followers, and the tweet's got 66,000 likes.
And he's saying...
He says, the NFL claims they are taking a stand against sex trafficking, yet they have a halftime show degrading and objectifying women with pole dancing. A horrendous example to the millions of young women across the world. That's the tweet.
Okay. Well, I just got to say, come on, come on. We cannot continue to bend that far to the right. I'm sorry. Whatever you want to say. The religious right. I love John Chick. We mentioned this in the warm-up, the rollout for flooring superstores. John went on a 7-minute diatribe, a rampage on Facebook at how offended he was at the Super Bowl halftime act. And I love John. Change the channel if you don't like it. It's 2020. That's my opinion. John has his. Taylor, where are you on this? I can't imagine you were offended by the halftime, but maybe you were.
I don't know. I didn't really have an opinion on it because it's, you know... It was entertainment, and if that's what the NFL thought the entertainment was, and if they thought sex sells, let's get more eyes on this. And more
which it does.
It, then there you go. That's
the almighty dollar, yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
Yep. And for sure. And Nelson mentions Adam Levine in the Facebook
shirtless.
Wall, and that's been brought up. We've seen that on social media. It's different, right? It's different. And I know, well, if women can't take their shirts off, why should men be able to take their shirts off? But it is different. It is, you know, we're judged differently. One's acceptable, the other's not. But it was racy for sure. But the lines are always changing. Did it cross any lines? I don't know. I don't think it did, but everybody's got a different line. And if it crossed your line, then tune it out, right? Turn it off. But it clearly didn't cross FCC lines or whatever the television guidelines, you know, regulatory guideline commission is. to be on the air, so it didn't cross their lines. So if it crossed yours, change the channel. And if you enjoy it, enjoy it.
It was up to the, I imagine some of it was up to the entertainers themselves, right? J-Lo and Shakira. And they were, you know, good on them for looking that good at,
Holy,
40 plus and being, they should be celebrated, right, too.
It's what Janelle's writing on the...
If they want to promote themselves that way, then that's fine.
On Facebook, Janelle from Saskatoon says, yeah, how horrible that the NFL showed two mums over 40 with wicked bodies doing what they love, making statements, empowering. It's an opinion matter. It's what side you're on. I love John. I'm on the God Squad too, but I'm not going to be offended. And I know Nelson writes in, he says, mums everywhere were hot and bothered last year when Adam Levine took his shirt off. We're acting like this is brand new. This is a revelation that sex sells.
Yeah.
Oh, it's only surprise. Been going on for about 30 years, if not more, since I've been paying attention. Maybe it's been going on longer than that.
But they mixed in, we know sex sells, and now, you know, over the last, you know, 10 years, nostalgia sells, right? All the things from our childhoods and our youth and from the past that comes back, we really have an affection for it, and that's a big marketing play now. And for me, I don't know if there was a bigger Shakira fan, you know, growing up than I was. So
of her body or her music?
I know all the words to the hips songs for some reason. But yeah, exactly. The hips don't lie. No, but it made me want to tune in. A little bit of that nostalgia, right. A little bit of everything.
So Janet Jackson, a few years ago, however long ago that was way worse and bigger than...
The nipple slip.
Yeah.
There
was not a slip.
There was no nudity on Sunday.
No.
Well, the Janet Jackson's was a famed nipple slip. You're saying it wasn't a slip?
Well, it wasn't a slip per se, but...
He uncovered her...
That's not a slip.
Yeah, did he do that on purpose? Or was it an accident?
I thought it was an accident.
Oh.
I thought it was an accident.
That's the debate.
Oh, I thought it was on purpose.
Right?
Oh.
And I missed it. I was going to the bathroom.
I'm way out of the loop then.
It was like 2004, I think.
I think it was an accident.
I couldn't imagine that now, right? If it was an accident still.
Regarding the question, if you could only have one channel for the rest of your life, what would it be? Leonard writes in on the Prairie Mobile text line, and he says, mine would be the Playboy channel, LOL. Do they still have that?
I guess.
Do they have internet where you're from, Leonard?
Do they have internet? Yeah.
On the Argo signing Macbeth to a one-year deal.
I read it for the articles, okay?
for the letters.
Exactly.
Anyways, on Macbeth signing a one-year deal with the Argos, wanting the guarantee, if you will, that if he's not the number one quarterback, he'll at least have the chance to compete for the number one quarterback job. And that's not petulance on behalf of McLeod. I know him. I met him with Ricky Ray and James Franklin in the restaurant that I used to own. They came in. I don't think it's petulance. I mentioned earlier I was on the air in Lloydminster this morning, and the boys brought up Henry Burrows wanted the same assurance way back 15 years ago with the Stampeders. This isn't new.
No.
But it does kind of squeeze Matt Nichols out. And we were saying in the break, well, what does this say to Matt Nichols, this whole, the way things have shaken down? It means don't get hurt. That's what it means.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're the Argos, you can tell McLeod, Bethel Thompson, hey, you can compete for this job. But if Nichols comes available at the right price, you can bring him in and say, well, we'll still give you a chance to compete, knowing that Nichols will probably be the starter. If he beats him out at training camp, whoever's best
at
training camp.
It's open competition. So, it has to be.
As long as they're competing.
So I don't think it closes the door on Nichols. But he won't enter the job as the starter.
Right. And if you're getting signed and you're not the starting quarterback... What kind of money are you getting, right?
Yeah.
If you're getting signed to only compete for that job and to potentially be a backup, it doesn't come with guarantee a bunch of guaranteed money and a really high-end deal,
I don't think. Incentives, though.
So if you're Matt Nichols, you got to start looking at the whole picture and understand that there's a certain percentage, it's pretty high, of teams that don't play one quarterback for 18 games, right? It doesn't happen. Very often that you have one guy start 18 games. You start looking around, okay, what's the best situation for me to maybe fight in camp for an opportunity, or at the very least, just buy my time, learn the system, and when I get my opportunity, succeed. So you look at Toronto. Montreal might be another spot. You know, if Vernon Adams Jr. potentially something happens and he falters, you know, a spot where you can be waiting in the wings. Hamilton's already locked up with three quarterbacks already. They're going back to all three quarterbacks who all, I mean, maybe David Watford's not a starting caliber quarterback yet, but you got two starting quarterbacks in Dane Evans and Jeremiah Masoli. You're not going to Calgary or Edmonton or BC or Saskatchewan for that matter. And you're not going back to Winnipeg. So to me, that leaves Montreal or Toronto as the only two real viable options for Matt Nichols. And in Toronto, he could battle for a starting job. And in Montreal, he's probably the backup.
The message to Matt Nichols is he's going to be taking backup money. Don't get hurt. And unfortunately, at this time, you don't have leverage. When we come back, we'll be talking Sask Rush. Ben McIntosh is loaded up in the chute and he's ready. It's our weekly Rush feature for Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions. It's the Rush and the Mammoth. It's Redemption Night Saturday. How's that at Sastel Center? We'll talk with Ben about that when we come back. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Prairie Mobile is your Sastel authorized dealer. Whether you're looking for talk, text, or data, shared, unlimited, or business plans, Prairie Mobile will help you find the Sastel wireless plan that's right for you. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
My name is Karen Allen. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2007. The treatments themselves were difficult, but the care and attention that I received was phenomenal. But what if, with the advances in technology that have been made, having that better equipment would increase survival rates by 1, maybe 2%? That's people.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody, on this Tuesday morning, episode 170 of Canada's only live morning sports talk show continues. As we do every home game week for the Saskatchewan Rush, we're talking Rush lacrosse and giving away a pair of tickets. This from Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions, Cody Sauer of Regina. You're going to be joining us at the Rush in the Colorado Mammoth this Saturday night at Sastel Center at 7:30 p.m. as the Rush look for their first home win of the season. And joining us to talk about it is the Rush's Ben McIntosh, the number one overall pick in the 2014 NLL entry draft. He's a lifetime Rush member, and he joins us from Philadelphia today. Good morning, Ben. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, 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 good. Darren DuPont and Taylor Shire with us in the bunker as well as we get ready for Saturday's game. Ben, your thoughts, just your overall thoughts on this game against Colorado on Saturday. You saw that we said that it's putting it too harshly, do you think?
Sorry, you broke up there. What did you say about it?
Is it too harsh to say this is redemption night, Saturday night, given the last time you and Colorado met?
Yeah, You know what? It's a big game for both teams. I don't think that's too harsh. I mean, Colorado's coming off a tough loss last weekend, too. So they're going to be hungry, and we've had to wait 2 weeks since our last loss. So we're definitely going to be hungry, too. It's going to be a good game.
You know, what is the talk amongst the guys on the way these two home games have gone? I mean, against New England, really weren't with it out of the gate. And then the Mammoth here, this last home game, you jump up 3-0 and then get outscored 12-6 the rest of the way. What did you guys talk about after those games, most recently the Colorado one?
Yeah, I mean, we got to find ways to score goals. I mean, we're struggling to score, and that seems to be more so at home right now, and I don't know what that is. We've had a couple weeks to talk, and, you know, yeah, we went to Toronto last weekend and did some practicing, so I think that was really positive for us. But yeah, no, we generally in the past, we've been really good at home. So we got to find a way to put the ball in the back of the net and help our D out.
Talk about the approach coming into the season, if you don't mind, Ben. I mean, last year, losing up to Colorado again in the playoffs in round one was the earliest in your career, I think, that you guys have lost out. You're still a good team. It's a veteran unit, right? I got to think there's a collective feeling of we're better than this.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, yeah, so this is now going into my sixth year in the league, and the first four, we made it to the final. So it was a great start to the career. And I ended up just being drafted to a really, really solid team. But yeah, so last year was a bit of a wake up call for us. We weren't expecting that and almost overlooked Colorado maybe. And, it definitely came back to bite us. So we got to be better. That's for sure.
But here's the thing. It's not all gloom and doom. I don't want to be that guy. You're unbeaten on the road, too. And you've had some pretty good roadies, right, this year to New York, where you've been. Colorado, you opened at New York and at San Diego. Yeah. Talk about those right. games. I mean, that was almost like the rush at your best.
Yeah, you know what? Specifically that one in San Diego, we thought we finally put a good 60 minutes together. So we thought we were going to build some momentum off that. Colorado stopped us. Anyway, we get another shot at them, but no, it's good to have a good road record. And you know what? We're still sitting 3-2. It's not the end of the world. It's still early in our season. And it's been a weird start for us. We've had, you know, a game and then a bye weekend and then a game and then a bye weekend and then 2 weeks off. And so it's hard to get in a rhythm when you're only playing one game every 2 weeks as well.
Well, you know, I only look at 1 week at a time, so I don't know what your schedule is the rest of the way. Does it start to get more compacted from here on in then?
Definitely, yeah. So starting this weekend, we actually have 13 games in the next 12 weeks. So we're definitely going to string some weekends together here.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty big. What are you guys doing, if anything, differently this weekend to try and kind of snap the home funk? Because you know the fans at home, they love it. They're fired up for the game, and they really want to see a win. And I know that's uncharacteristic, you know, to go a couple of games without one at home. So are you guys trying anything different, getting in a little early, doing any team things to try and snap, if you want to call it, a little bit of a small slump at home?
Yeah, you know what? In previous years, we actually haven't got together to practice on our bye weekend. So we did that differently last weekend, getting together and meeting in Toronto. And we had some things we had to work on. Offensively, we got to simplify things. I mean, we maybe are overthinking plays too much, and we're getting on the floor and we're a little hesitant to just go to the net. We're trying to run a perfect play. So we've kind of simplified things. We're going to try to go back to what we've done in the past. And I think that'll really help us just play with more confidence and play a bit faster.
I like that. I like that because, I mean, to match up man-to-man, I mean, you guys got one of the top offenses in the NLL. It's pretty hard to match up man-for-man. I like simplifying it. Sorry, that's
just is that from Coach Keenan, or is that a player thing? And by the way, I assume Coach Keenan was there with you on the weekend in Toronto, or was that a players-only thing?
No, that was coaches were there too. And it's kind of been everywhere. It's been with Bubs, our offensive coach, Coach Keenan, and the players. I think it's kind of felt universally that we just got to go back to what we've done in the past.
Let me ask you this before we let you go, Ben. Those home crowds, I've been going now for a few years. Does it ever get old running out of the fire at the start and the place is going nuts? Are you used to it yet, or do you still get a little bit of tingles when you're coming onto the floor when they introduce you? And he froze.
He's really thinking about that.
He's really thinking. Clark will bring that in, and probably the screen just froze. But I know I never get tired of seeing it when they get introduced onto the floor.
It's so cool. And you and I have had the privilege of being down on the floor, which is even ultra cool.
It's better. Yeah.
That's so cool being down there. But being in the crowd, it gets dark, and then they throw the lit up lacrosse balls into the stands to some of the fans. And yeah, it's really cool. Really, really
when
cool.
When the fire goes off, it actually gets hot.
Oh, yeah.
By the way.
Kind of like in the Saddle Dome, mm-hmm. right? When they blow the flame after the goal.
It's exactly what it's
warm.
Like.
It's warm. Yeah.
Did we get Ben back, by the way? Or is he gone? They're working on it. Well, by the way, we got Monty in Saskatoon asking if he can get Rush tickets. Well, we did the contest. Cody Sauer of Regina has won 2 tickets to the game for Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions. How did we do it? How did we do the contest? Because I didn't even mention anything. Were they sharing it? Were they liking it?
We had the comment. We had the post on Facebook went up last night. And so we got a flood of comments and shares and likes and whatnot and picked our winner. So...
All right, we have to, Monty, enter the contest next Rush home game. That's what we'll say. Now, we have Ben back with us. And, Ben, my question, just before the screen froze, was does it ever get old when you get introduced through the fire coming onto the field at Sastel Center, co-op field at Sastel Center? You must still get tingles, I would think.
Yeah, you know what? It's a really cool feeling. It definitely doesn't get old, and it's unlike anywhere else in the league. I think Saskatchewan definitely, they put on the best show. I think they got the best fans, And you know what? The fans know what they're doing. They're smart. They know when to be loud. They know when we need a little bit of quiet. So it's a really fun place to play, and it definitely does not get old.
Have you seen a change in them in the 5 years then? What's the difference from year one to year five here in that from the fans?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, they've gotten smart. They seem to have picked up on the game really, really quick. And like I said, like they just know when they need to cheer. They know when we need a little boost, and you know, they know when we might need a little bit of quiet, like if we're going over a play or if our defense needs to communicate. So they do a really good job with that. And they've adopted some really cool, the chest bump thing, and they've got some goal songs out there. So it's really cool.
Yep. And I got to say, I'll say it again. This is a redemption game. You said it best, looking past the mammoth, because in week one this year, Jeff Shatler sat in this chair and said, we're going to go into Colorado and teach them a lesson. And you did. And then this last game you mentioned, kind of you overlooked the mammoth. And I'll just put it this way to end it. Who is your top rival right now for the Rush, the Calgary Roughnecks or the Colorado Mammoth? I got to think they're pretty close.
Yeah. You know what? You asked me that 12 months ago, I'd definitely say Calgary, but at this point, it just seems we've played Colorado so many times in the past, you know, 8 months, and they ended our season last year. We're now playing them for the third time this year. It's a toss-up, but right now, I'd probably go with Colorado.
Well, for this week, for sure. Ben, thanks for fitting us in. We'll see you Saturday night at Sastel Center.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Ben McIntosh of the Saskatchewan Rush. Taylor's like, what are you doing?
Come to a rescue.
I've been.
Yeah, he's
been. Don't worry.
That's not Jaws, by the way. That's their own song. What is the song?
No, it's, you know, it's from
Subdued, though.
Yeah.
You got to get up on your feet.
No, it's the Matthew.
No, I do it in my seat.
It's the Matthew McConaughey, right? From Wolf of Wall Street.
Is that what it's from?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When he's tapping his, slamming his chest. It's pretty good. Pretty catchy.
From Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions says, we've got more Rush tickets to give away for future games. Stay tuned to the RP show. There you go, Monty. It's Monty. You got to enter. You got to be on the bit. You got to be with it. Lisa Degelman writes in, says, hey, Rod, interested in having any of the Pat Canadians on? They're in first with 5 league games to go. Got that, Clark? Clark's the guest booker. So DM our accounts and we'll get on it. Oh, and Nelson says it's The Hum by Dimitri Vegas. That's the name of the song.
It's good.
All I know is it's the Rush song.
Yeah.
Anything else, Taylor, before we let you go?
No.
This was fun today.
But thinking about that, I wish more teams had things like that.
Yeah.
Like, even like goal songs used to be a big thing.
Yep.
And now they kind of change them year after year, some teams. And nobody really has chance anymore or things that they do with their chest. Any sport, right?
Let's go to Nashville. The Predators.
Nashville has
it. The Predators
them.
Have it. So it becomes that little charm. But yeah, you want to get it's original. Just, it's hard.
Yeah.
Because you want to copy somebody else. So.
Like even the Brandon Wheat Kings, they had that goal song for years and they do that little helmet thing together.
Yep.
Nobody.
It becomes a thing, I know. But don't get me going on sports marketing because I get very upset and the teams don't want the help. And I just look at the Rush and they are light years ahead of everybody else in this country in terms of marketing. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Whatever. That's their deal. And we'll market this show because that's going well. Right?
Yep.
That's what we're putting our energies into. Taylor, thanks. And again, we got a gift card for you from Ballers.
Thanks for having me.
You betcha. We'll be back with the overtime segment in a moment, everybody. Stick around. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
2020 has officially arrived. It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital Ford Pre-Owned. We have a massive inventory of all make, all models pre-owned inventory, and you gotta see it to believe it. Trade up on this pre-owned 2018 Volkswagen Golf all-wheel drive for only $19,999 plus tax. Or get into this loaded pre-owned 2018 Ford Explorer all-wheel drive for only $32,999 plus tax. It's time to trade and upgrade at Canada's number one pre-owned Ford store, Capital Ford Pre-Owned.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Everyone loves a deal. Instantly save 50% on locally offered cash value coupons. Plus, a portion of every purchase goes to your favorite cause, Primo Deals, community fundraising. Download the Primo Deals app now to start saving and giving today. Primo Deals, building communities.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the overtime segment. Proudly brought to you by Emerald Water. Emerald Water YQR. Don't let me forget to do sports on tap, which I won't. I just want to read a couple of the messages from the Facebook wall from our viewers that have chimed in. From Greg Gillespie, it says, any chance on having a short video of your legend wall for those of us that can't visit it in person? That's a good idea. And Greg, thanks for paying attention, by the way. Where did my Wally pass go?
Here it is. Well, if you follow us on social media, oftentimes we do some little social media, you know, whether it's on your story or the show story,
right,
or my story of the Legends Hall or different areas behind the scenes. That's where, you know, Instagram and Snapchat come in. That's where you get the behind the scenes looks of all that stuff.
Greg, are you a social media guy that way? Are you on Instagram? I don't really use Snapchat that much. Darren does. But it's funny you brought up Legends Hall because you took a photo of me the other day, or sorry, it was weeks ago, of me in front of the Jets banner, the three-story high Jets banner that the NHL gave us.
Yeah.
And I actually hit delete on it because I'm like, nobody's going to want to see this. So I deleted it. It's gone. Not like I can't go stand down there and take another photo, but it was from the day that you put it up there.
Hung it up.
And there's a blanket from a Heritage Classic. There is the George Reed autographed jersey, the Taylor Field oil painting, the Rush signed jersey. What else? Well, now the Wally Buono game credential from the last game at Taylor Field. Thank you, BC Lions, for the Mike Riley bobblehead, the Wally Buono game credential, and the Dante Marsh jersey's already gone up on the wall.
Muhammad Ali is in there.
Sorry, SJ, but you got bumped. Where are we going to put the SJ jersey?
I don't know.
Got bumped for the BC Lions. So that's the one comment from Greg. Terry says, yep, you guys are doing what you can for the CFL and the Dub. It's up to those people to do their things too. It's not to say they're not doing anything, but we're not working together on those things. They're doing those things. Although I'd like to think that we are working with the BC Lions a lot. And them retweeting the interview yesterday with Aaron Grimes got over 5,000 views now. So we wanna work together because together we're stronger. And look what's happening with the Saskatchewan Rush. Great partnership there. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting really excited. Smitty wrote in, our director of scouting, Craig Smith, how he can't wait to go to a Rush game. Well, come on, Smitty. Come with me. Because my wife said to me last night, who are you taking to the Rush game? And I said, I never even thought about it. I just assumed she'd be with me.
Yeah.
But she's on a party bus with the girls. Girls' night.
She's going to the game?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
On a limo bus. What's the worst that can happen?
Yeah, exactly.
So, but the only thing is, I would have Smitty come sit with me. I only got one seat. I was thinking of you. Do you have plans Saturday night?
I'll be in Saskatoon.
Do you want to come to the game with me?
Potentially. We got to figure out what we're doing with our tickets yet, too. We got our show season tickets to give away. So,
I didn't actually think the SJHL would be watching.
Yep.
They've written in, congrats to the BC Lions getting our spot on the wall. Take good care of it. Okay, nope. Abu, bumped.
Abu's out.
Abu's off. We can put in the SJ up and Mike Abumeshrick's spot. You got me.
We just had a couple of spots where they were hung. Remember we say,
we got to add more spots.
Well, we just need it in a frame. And then we can hang it wherever we want, right?
Or pound a nail in the wall
and
put it up there.
Too. I know.
Listen, SJHL, by the time 60 seconds after we get off the air, you'll be back on the wall. I was just so excited with the BC Lions jersey. I'm sorry. Think about Saturday night and coming to the game with me, if you don't mind. But I'm really excited about this week. I started to say this the other day. Got the Kinsman dinner this week and my role in that. And I'm very excited because I've never been involved in the Saskatoon Kinsman dinner before, ever. Eddie Belfour, Marty Brodeur, Grant Fear, Bernie Perrant, Glenn Hall, Charleston Hughes now, and Brett Lowther. And then Saturday night's the Rush game. And then the Recovery Hour show next week here, which is going really great. Going to Vegas for 4 days, hanging out with the Golden Knights. So nice of them to extend that invitation. And then going to Mexico. It's February's just...
I gotta get...
It's all coming up millstone.
I gotta gear up. I guess I'm gonna have to do some real work.
Oh, the SJHL says, where's Abu's spot? Probably under the stairs. Nope. I will send you a photo as soon as we're done here. Thank you, SJHL, for keeping me on my toes like a midget at a urinal. The boys liked that one over there, didn't they? Sports on tap before we go off the air. What are you turning red for? You're waiting for the...
I'm waiting for the lawsuit. That's what I'm waiting to know.
Who's going to sue us for that?
I'm kidding.
From Joe Lazito on Long Island, he says, keep the SJHL on the wall. Joe has a very direct way of talking to us.
Yes.
Don't worry. SJHL knows where they stand with me. They're going back up. Abu's going down. WHL on tap tonight. All games are in the Western Conference. The Spokane Chiefs are at the Portland Winterhawks. Seattle Thunderbirds at Prince George. And Tri-City is at the Vancouver Giants. In the SJ tonight, the Humboldt Broncos visit the Kindersley Clippers. The Flin Flon Bombers are at Yorkton taking on Chance Petruick and the Terriers. And the Nipawin Hawks skate into Weyburn tonight. They're getting to the nitty-gritty of the schedule, by the way.
Yes.
And actually, the game of the week is on tonight, right? The game of the week is on tonight in the SJ. Isn't that tonight, guys? On Sastel Max? I think that's the Humboldt-Kindersley game, but I might be wrong. But the game of the month is on tonight. 13 games in the NHL tonight, including the Oilers at the Coyotes. That's the one I'll be watching. Montreal at New Jersey, Ottawa home to Anaheim, the Jets welcome Nashville, Flames home to San Jose, and Vancouver's at Boston. And there are 10 games in the NBA tonight, but the Raptors are off. That's Sports on Tap for the Tap Brewhouse and Liquor Store. Spend $100 in the Tap Liquor Store and you will get a $20 gift card to use in the brew house. Stop by and see them today. That's it, Darren. Anything else before we let you go?
No, that's good.
Oh, tomorrow's show. It's a very big show tomorrow. Nick Lewis, TSN's Dave Naylor, Devone Claybrooks, and Jordan Eberle of the New York Islanders. Confirmed.
Whoa. Big show.
I already can't wait until tomorrow. Thank you, Taylor. Thank you, Matthew Barnaby. Thank you, Chris Dingman. Thank you, Ben McIntosh. Thank you, SJHL, for being such great sports. And we'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Central right here on Facebook Live.
You did it.
You did it. Now what?
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.